I ask you to get your Bible out and turn there and just leave it open. We're going to spend all of our time in John chapter 21. Guy called his boss up one morning and said, I just don't think I'm going to be able to make it to work today. And the boss says, why not? He says, well, it's my eyes. The boss says, well, what's wrong with your eyes? And he says, well, I just don't see myself working today, so I'm going fishing. I think about Peter in that story in John chapter 21. Peter really didn't see what he was going to do next in regards to his work with the Lord. And so he just decided that he was going fishing along with the other disciples. And I want to read in John chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of your fish that you have caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you, Lord? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. I think a good word, we read through the Gospel of John and we finished up this past week, and as I wrapped up this gospel, I thought about the disciples and where they were, and I began to think about how desperate they were. They seemed kind of destitute, just at the end of their rope. And I thought about how there are times in our life where we just need the Lord. And there's nothing else that's going to cut it in our life. There's nothing that's going to bring us peace other than the Lord. Circumstances may have changed in our lives. Something's come around the corner and we didn't know it was going to be this way. Maybe we didn't see our health going this way in our life. And what we desperately need is the provision of the Lord. And that's where we find the disciples in John chapter 21. They are at the end of the rope. And maybe that's where you find yourself this morning. Maybe you're out of work. You're looking for a job. You've got mouths to feed. You've got bills to pay. And the bills are piling up. And there's just nothing in sight. Or maybe you feel alone in your marriage. And you're struggling to love and give as God commands. Or maybe there's no real spiritual life that you have right now. In the concept of Christ and His love. And you just feel empty. Or maybe it's a couple here today and you're struggling with infertility, or maybe a heartbroken spouse, or you are defeated, or you just feel as if you're just caught in that cycle of sin, that sin confess, and you just don't feel as if you're putting much effort into your Christian life at all. Can you identify, I could keep going, but can you identify with these situations? Well, in John chapter 21, I think this describes the position that the disciples find themselves in. I mean, think about it. They had lived with Jesus for 3 years. They had heard him teach. They had seen and witnessed his miracles. They had even experienced his miracles in their own life. And then all of a sudden he was crucified, even though he had told them what was going to happen. They seemed somewhat shocked and bewildered by it. And all of a sudden he was gone. They had left for Jerusalem. They'd gone back home to the Sea of Galilee or Tiberias. And they're confused. Maybe somewhat unaware of their mission. Unsure of their loyalties and where those lie. They were at the end. And here we have Peter in verse 3 of John 21 who says, I'm going fishing. And just think of it. Christ had been crucified. Yeah, they'd seen the risen Lord, but they're still sitting around. What are we going to do now? They're still waiting. And Peter says, I'm getting out of here. I just got to go back. I can't sit around anymore. I'm going fishing. And Peter seems to be a man of action. He says, I'm going to go do something. And so off he goes. And so just picture the scene. Here they go back. They go back to the sea that they're familiar with. They're going to return to what they know best. And what they know best is fishing. They arrive at the Sea of Galilee. There's Peter's boat. Hadn't been out in a while, perhaps. Looks a little bit rough, but they're able to get up into the boat and they're able to go into the waters. And they knew this sea. And the familiarity probably felt pretty good. And so we're going to say, they say, we're going to go back to what comes naturally. And so they get their nets together and just do what those fishermen did. And they cast those nets into the water. They let those nets settle for just a moment. And as you do, as you're sitting around a boat while you're fishing, you start to talk a little bit. And they say, well, this isn't so bad. We can take care of ourselves. Maybe they went back and talked about some of the experiences of following Jesus over the past few years. Hey, you remember that? Well, that was quite the experience with Jesus. And then they start to pull those nets in. They start to pull those nets in without much effort at all. And they think, well, this isn't, I don't remember it being this easy. But then they pull the nets in and there's no fish. And they said, well, maybe I don't remember it being this hard. And so they throw the nets in and there's no fish. They throw the nets back in. There's no fish. And then there's a voice from the shore that says, have you caught anything? And none of them recognized this situation. They didn't recognize the Lord. But they heard this voice say, well, throw your net on the other side. And only when they saw the nets bulging with fish did they finally realize who it was on the shore. John gasps, it is the Lord. And Peter just jumps out of the boat and goes to Jesus, a man of action. And they're dragging the net full of fish. There's some great lessons from the shore that I want to share with you this morning when you are at the end of your rope. First of all, what we see from this story, I think, is that when I'm at the end, Jesus is there for me. When I'm in that position of extreme need, when I'm in that position of where I feel as if all hope is lost, what I need more than anything is for Christ to be there for me. And we see Jesus, the Savior, Lord, standing on this shore, and he is waiting for a group of men who had not too long before that had deserted him. And even the one who told Jesus, I will never forsake you. I'll never leave you, Lord. I don't know about the rest of these guys, but it's not going to happen with me. But it was that man, Peter, who did desert Jesus. And it was that man, Peter, who denied Jesus three times. Here was a group of men who had deserted the Lord, but yet Jesus had not deserted them. I just find that picture so comforting and amazing, the fact that Jesus is on the shore. They go back to what they know, and Jesus is on the shore, and he's sitting there, and he's waiting patiently for them. I mean, when the disciples say, we're just going to go back to what we know, to what's familiar, and Jesus came right along to wait for them. He came after them. He came looking for them. And I just love that. You think, John tells us that they were about 100 yards from the shore. I don't know about fishing. I don't know anything about fishing. A couple of you guys I know a lot about fishing. You could probably tell me, if you hadn't fished in a while and you were finally decided, I'm going to go back to fishing, where would you go? I would imagine you'd go back to your favorite fishing spot. I would imagine you would go back to the place to where you knew you had been successful before. You'd probably go back to that place where you knew you had your biggest catch. I think that's where the disciples were. And here they are on the lake. It's calm. And they're just about 100 yards away. And I think about Jesus standing on the shore. And I just wonder, can Jesus hear off of the shore their conversation? I know Jesus knows what they're saying. Jesus knows what's in their hearts. But does he hear them maybe in their conversation experience some frustration and some aggravation? What is Jesus thinking about their conversations? But I think about the presence of Jesus, and I think about how comforting it is for me to consider that when these guys were at the end of the rope, Jesus was there. And I would say to you this morning that it doesn't matter how long you've been wrestling with God. Maybe you've been wrestling with God in obedience to His will. Maybe you've deserted the Lord. Maybe you've been involved in some sinful activities, some sinful behaviors for some time now. And perhaps there might be some who would be shocked to know what it is that you would be involved in your Christian life. I want to tell you, if you find yourself in that situation this morning, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter how far you've gone, Jesus is on the shore. Jesus is waiting for you. When I'm at the end, Jesus is standing at the shore, waiting patiently. But then number two, when I'm at the end, Jesus reveals the futility of efforts apart from Him. Now listen, God is not opposed to work. God is not opposed to effort. The scriptures are clear. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 3, make every effort to add to your faith virtue. And so God is not opposed to effort. In fact, we are commanded to give effort. We are commanded to work. But what I think we see in this story is the efforts of man without the help of God are worthless. When I'm at the end of my rope, this story reveals the efforts apart from God. I mean, think about back to the boat in this story. Jesus asked this question in the original language. The word that's used, Jesus says, children. Children, have you caught any fish? I find that a little bit funny. You've been fishing all night. You know how to fish. Have you caught any fish? I mean, it's obvious. You golfers know what that's like. You got a shot over the water, and you think, don't hit it in the water. You hit it in the water, and you get back in the cart, and your buddy goes, you hit it in the water? Well, yeah, I hit it in the water. Or you get a flat tire, and it's raining, and you get out of the car, and you open up the trunk, and you start getting out your jack, and you're getting out your tools, and you scrape up all your knuckles, and your wife comes around the corner, you got a flat tire? Yeah, I got a flat tire. This isn't a drill. This is with Jesus. He said, have you caught any fish? And I love that. Someone said, probably the truest fishing story ever. Their answer was no. Have you caught any fish? And just a quick shot back to Jesus. No, we haven't caught anything. Why don't you think they didn't catch any fish? I mean, think about it. Here they were, expending all of their energy and their effort. They were at the right place. They had the right equipment. They were the experts. Why no fish? And I know we talk about the miracle of the great catch of fish, but perhaps there was a miracle in the no catch. Because I believe there was an important lesson that Jesus was trying to teach His disciples that day on the lake, that efforts apart from Him are futile. It's possible. Maybe you're in a place right now where you're not catching anything. Everything seems difficult. Everything seems like a struggle. Could it be that what is being revealed to you is your efforts apart from God? Efforts apart from your relationship with God? It's worthless. It's futile. I believe that God teaches us a very important principle in our lives. We see it throughout Scripture. We see it in this story, that you can't make it without Him. You can't do it. You cannot make it without Him. We must reach a place where we say, I can't make it without your help, God. I can't make it without walking with you. I can't make it without a relationship with you. You see, too often when we are at our end, we feel destitute, we kind of do what Peter does. When we're at the end of our rope, we just decide we're going to try things our way now. And I'm going back fishing. I'm going to do it myself. I don't need God's instructions. And if you're living your life that way right now, if you're living your life apart from the instructions of God, I'm going to ask you the question, have you caught any fish? How is that working out for you? God wants us to reach a place where we realize that our efforts in and of ourselves, our efforts in our flesh, are worthless. That's what God reveals in this story. That's what He did with these disciples. He's saying to them, you're not going to catch any fish until you realize how much you need me. And it's amazing to me that Jesus was on that shore and He didn't leave them there. See, efforts apart from Jesus are worthless. But the next what we see is that when I'm at the end, Jesus provides when the time is right and in a way in which he deems best. There's so much here. That first of all, he provides when the time is right in the way that he deems best. Look back, you know, in verse 5, he asked that question. Have you caught any fish? No. We said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Why all of a sudden? They hadn't caught anything all night. Now why all of a sudden have they caught so much fish that they can't haul it in? Now question, who was responsible for that catch of fish? Was it Peter? Peter finally get that boat in the right spot? Was it John? Did they finally get whatever the touch is with the wrist when they pull the net? They finally get that right? Was it Andrew? Was it the way they pulled in the net? Who provided the fish? It was Jesus. He created them. He brought them to the boat. He put them in the net. Those guys hadn't caught a fish all night long. And so what we see here is that Jesus provided. The Lord provides what we need. And apart from Him, we'll never have enough. We will always be destitute apart from Jesus. And listen, when Jesus provides, He provides in abundance. I read that in verse 6. They couldn't haul it in. There was so much. All of these strong men trying to haul in this net, and they couldn't get it pulled in. In fact, there were 153 large fish. I think that's interesting. Years later, John can remember the number of fish that had been caught. Think about those guys, just 148, 149, 150. They were so excited about that catch that they never forgot. And they're just overflowing with fish. And you think about how God provides for us, now to Him who's able to do far more exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. My cup runneth over. My cup overflows in Psalm 23. God lavishes His grace on us. We talked about this, about how God has more than, we learned from Luke 15, that God has more than enough bread and to spare. God has enough, and He provides His counsel and His instruction in abundance. He provides for us. We'll never be lacking when we live our lives with a relationship with God. God provides in abundance, and He provides when the time is right. Now notice, like I said, they've been fishing all night. Jesus is on the shore. I wonder if He's saying, give it up, guys. When are you going to give it up? When are you just going to come back to the shore? Why are you going to keep doing this so long? What Jesus did was He waited until they exhausted all of their own strength. And that's the same question again. Are you tired yet? Are you tired yet? Have you been fishing all night with no success? Trying to build a marriage, fix a marriage without God's help? Trying to raise our kids without God's help? Trying to overcome some sin without God's help? Trying to grow disciples in a church without God's help? And there's Jesus, and He's saying, are you tired? Are you ready to give up on your way? Are you ready to give up on trying to take care of it on your own? Hey, why did God have them put that net on the other side of the boat? Now, it's not like this is a big, huge, like, cruise liner. I mean, this is not a very big boat. Why did He have them take it and go fish on the right side of the boat? Why did He do that? Why didn't He just make the fish swim over there to their net? I mean, they're tired. Imagine those nets getting them up out of the water. I mean, it's not easy. They're tired. Why does He make them get them up out of the water on that side, haul them over, and then drop them down on the right side when they're tired? Why did He have them do that? I think what God was teaching His disciples there is that His way works. That when I end my own efforts, my own fleshly efforts, and I decide to partner up, to work with God, to submit to God, that is when the blessing comes. That is when the provision comes. When I give up trying things my own way and I submit to the Master. So let me ask you this question. Where do you need the help and the provision of God? Where is that in your life this morning? Once you answer that question, I just want to give you three ways. Three ways how you can receive the provision of God this morning that we learn in this story. The first one is this. Do exactly as he says without questions. I mean, the disciples had more than enough excuses, more than enough reasons to not obey the command from Jesus on the shore. They could have easily have said, I'm tired, we don't want to do this. They could have said, man, look, if we catch some fish, we're going to look like a bunch of amateurs. Do we really want to embarrass ourselves this way? They could have come up with all sorts of excuses as to not obey this command. They could say, you stick with the spiritual stuff, or I can handle this myself. But the disciples didn't respond that way. They responded immediately and without question. And listen, as you read God's word, as you study his word, as you go and you pray to him, and as you seek his counsel in your life, and when God reveals in the scripture what it is that he wants you to do, go out and do it. Don't delay. You know, there's another time in Luke chapter 5. There's another story about a time when they went fishing. Luke chapter 5. It's another night when they caught no fish. And they were told basically the same thing. Jesus told them to put the net down in verse 4. Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. I mean, think about it. Here is Peter back in Luke. And Jesus says, put your nets out, launch them out into the deep. Peter said, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught anything. But nevertheless, at your word, I will. Nevertheless, I will obey you. Nevertheless, I will follow your instruction. I will follow your command. At your word, I will. That's how you receive God's blessing. That's how you receive the help of God. At your word, turn the other cheek. At your word. Go the second mile at your word. Love your neighbor at your word. I will. I will do these things without delay. But then second of all, go to him as soon as possible. Go to him as soon as possible. I just love this story of John says, it's the Lord. And Peter's like, oh, it's the Lord. Well, John, probably they're trying to get the boat turned back around. And Peter says, I'm not waiting for that. And he just jumps into the lake or into the sea and he starts going to Jesus. I think that's amazing. Some might have said, you know, there's maybe a more dignified way of doing that. We just saw him a few days ago. But Peter decided there's a space between me and the Lord and I need to do something about that. I am supposed to be by his side and I'm going to get back to where he is. That's passion. That is a zeal to be with the Lord. Peter was willing to jump out of that boat and swim to Jesus as fast as he could. And I think about the concept of pouring your heart out to God. Well, when's the last time you or I have really poured out our heart to the Lord? You know what I mean by that? I don't mean just a quick dinner prayer. I mean a time when we fall to our knees and we go to God and we just plead with him. We pray to him. We pour our hearts out to him. Psalm 62 verse 8. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. When's the last time we've done that? Just pour it all out. Because what we see from this story is that he is on the shore waiting with open arms. There is a Savior who can meet our needs. But we might be in the boat and he's on the shore. And if you don't decide today to do something fast, jump out of that boat and go to Jesus, you're going to miss out on an incredible opportunity. You're going to miss out on the benefits of following God's way and submitting to the Master. Go to Him as soon as possible. And then finally, as I finish, to receive the provision of God, be willing to bring what you have. Be willing to bring what you have. You know, back in that text, I guess as the guys were fishing, Jesus decided that he was just going to build a fire. Verse 9, they saw a charcoal fire in place, fish laid out on it, and bread. You know, there's sometimes when people, you tell people about the gospel, and you tell them about Jesus, and they say, well, I see this. This is amazing, you know, that you can have this peace and in this relationship with God. But you know, before I do that, there's some things I need to get straightened out. There's some things I need to work on before I get to this point to go with the Lord. I'm not really fit to go with Him yet. And sadly, that's what keeps a person at times from coming to Jesus. But from this story, we see that God just wants you to come to Him. It is the coming that He desires. There's no secrets with God. He knows everything about you. He knows every situation that you find yourself in. You're not going to shock Him with anything if you bring it to Him. I mean, think about this story. Here in verse 9, Jesus has got this charcoal fire, and there's fish laid on it. And I think, well, where'd the fish? Did he have a line in the water? Or, you know, did he just create it? How did that happen? But he's got some fish there. And then in verse 10, Jesus said, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. And I wonder, were they thinking in their minds, oh, come on, Jesus, you know we didn't catch these fish. We fished all night, didn't catch anything. Now you show up, you tell us to cast on the right side of the boat. These are your fish. You created them, Lord. You put them in the net. Maybe they said, why do you need our fish anyway? You've got a whole breakfast right here. Where's the point? I got fish, I know that. Jesus says, but I want your fish. I want what you have. I don't need it. I own it all. I've made it all. I don't need it, but I want it. There's a lot of love in that. I got everything that you need, but bring yours too. Jesus says, I want your fish. Or in other words, for us today, I want your life. I want you to surrender everything to me. I want you, your entire being. We learn a lot about Jesus from the shore. And I'm comforted by Hebrews 13 and verse 8 that says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And think about that. The same Savior who stood on the shore is the same Savior and Lord. And the question is, will we depend upon Him to provide for us? Well, we depend upon Him, and hopefully this morning, I hope we're jumping out of the boat. I hope we're going to do whatever is necessary in our lives to get to Jesus as fast as possible, knowing that He is just there on the shore, ready to provide the pardon, the forgiveness, the mercy, and the grace that we need so desperately in our lives. He will give it to us, and He will give it abundantly. Why don't you come to Jesus? Come to the shore. Come to Him in obedient faith, the step of faith. Coming to Him. Maybe you need to be baptized this morning, be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And you can start a relationship with Him this morning. But whatever your need is, know that Jesus is waiting for you. If we can help you in any way, come on up to the front while we stand and sing.